Hey, so today we're kicking off a new teaching series called Practicing the Art of Becoming More Like Jesus. And this is a series that I've been excited about since we planned it as a teaching team all the way back in the fall. And this is a series that we're actually going to be in for the next 10 weeks throughout the rest of the summer. And I want to start our time today by looking at a couple verses that come from Matthew chapter 11. These are pretty familiar verses that you may have heard before. But here in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are tired, who are worn out, who are overwhelmed, and I will give you rest. Rest from the weariness of life, rest from the burdens that you carry, for I am humble and gentle in heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this sounds really nice, doesn't it? Like true rest for our souls. I mean, who wouldn't want that? Most of us, we are stressed out. We're anxious. We're overwhelmed in life. We want this easy and light burden that Jesus is talking about here. Unfortunately, this is not the reality for most who follow Jesus. I think for many of us, following Jesus feels anything but easy and light. In fact, if we were being honest, following Jesus sometimes adds more stress and more anxiety to our life because now we feel like there's a bunch of things that we're expected to do as Christians. You know, we're expected to go to church on Sunday morning. We're supposed to read our Bible and pray. We're supposed to be in a small group with other Christians. We're supposed to serve in our church and in the community. We're supposed to share our faith. We're supposed to be generous with our finances. And we have this list of things that we're supposed to do. And it's like, man, have you seen how busy my life already is? Man, have you seen all the things that I already have going on? You know, me and my spouse, we both work full-time. And my kids are involved in travel sports and other activities. And we've got these house projects that we're constantly trying to get ahead on. And I've got to travel for work. And I've got vacations that I've got to do. Like, how am I ever supposed to fit all of this extra stuff into my schedule? And on top of all the things that we feel like we're supposed to do, there's all of these rules that now we feel like we're supposed to follow. You know, don't gossip. Don't drink too much, don't lie, don't lose my temper at home or at work. And then whenever we fall short, which all of us do, then we feel guilty about it. Like following Jesus doesn't feel easy and light. It doesn't feel like rest for our souls. If anything, following Jesus feels like this checklist that we're supposed to follow, served with a side of guilt and shame. And, you know, maybe this is the version of Christianity that you've kind of subscribed to. And it's not that you don't love Jesus. It's not that you don't want to follow Jesus. You really do. But you're just kind of tired and just worn out by all of it. It's just become another thing that you need to get done in your schedule. It's another plate that you need to keep spinning. And you're not sure how long you can keep this going. Maybe even for some of you, you've been following Jesus for years now. You've been doing all the things, and you're just kind of burnt out by it. Kind of feel like you're over it. Well, if that's you this morning, and I have a feeling it may be a number of us in here, here's what you need to understand. And this is never what Jesus intended for us. You know, when you read throughout the gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the invitation that Jesus consistently extended to people was to come and to follow him. to come and do as he actually did, to come and be like him. He invites us into this way of living, into this way of life that is modeled after the way that Jesus himself lived. You see, Jesus didn't invite people to just believe certain things about him. He didn't invite people to just follow a list of rules and obey a set of commands. He actually invited people to follow him, to live like he did. And so today, we're going to look at a passage of scripture that I think is just a great picture of what it looks like, what it means for you and I to actually follow Jesus. And this passage that we're going to look at today, it kind of lays the foundation for where we're going in this series. It's the groundwork for what we're going to look at for the rest of the summer. So if you have your Bible with you, or you have your Bible on the phone, you can go ahead and find your way to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And let me give you a little bit of context for this passage before we dive into it. So Jesus, he has just shared his final Passover meal with his disciples. We often refer to this as the Last Supper. And during that meal, Jesus, he got down and he washed his disciples' feet. He predicted that he was going to be betrayed by one of the guys in the group. And then he told Peter that Peter would deny him not once, not twice, but three times. And as they finished their meal together, Jesus began to prepare his disciples for the fact that he would be leaving them shortly. And this chapter of scripture is a part of what is referred to as Jesus's farewell discourse. From John chapter 14 to John chapter 17, you see Jesus kind of downloading to his disciples, hey, here's everything you need to know. Here is the most important stuff that you have to get right before I go to the cross. And so I would love to invite everyone to stand as we read this passage here together. The verses are going to be on the screen as well. But starting in verse 1 of chapter 15, Jesus says this. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You can go ahead and grab a seat. So here in chapter 15, Jesus gives us this very helpful illustration and visual for what our relationship with God looks like. And he gives us this picture of a garden. And he says that God the Father is the gardener. And his responsibility as the gardener is to tend to his garden. And God, he says he removes and cuts away any branches that do not bear any fruit. And the branches that do bear fruit, he prunes them so that they will bear even more fruit. And that's a whole nother sermon for another time. But then Jesus says that he is the vine, that he is the source of all life for everything that grows in the garden. And we, as his followers, we are the branches. We are to bear fruit. Because it shows, it reveals, Jesus says, that we are actually his followers, that we are his disciples, and it brings God much glory when we bear fruit. So God the Father is the gardener, Jesus the Son is the vine, and you and I, we are the branches. But did you pick up on a key word that was repeated over and over throughout this passage? It's this word, remain, or some of your translations may say abide. And in seminary, they taught us that, hey, whenever you're reading a passage, whenever you're studying a passage, one of the things that you need to look for and pay attention to is what are the words or phrases that are repeated. Because typically the words that are repeated are the main point of emphasis in a passage. And this word abide or remain shows up 11 times in just 10 verses here. So it's clearly important. It's clearly the point of emphasis from Jesus. And this word abide, it means to be held and kept continually. It means to not depart, but continue to be present. You see, as Christians, oftentimes we feel like it's our responsibility as Christians to go and do a lot of things for God. That it's our job, it's our responsibility to bear fruit in our life. And we tend to measure our success as followers of Jesus by how much we're doing for him and by how much fruit that we see in our lives. But here's what I want you to notice in this passage. The command from Jesus is not to go and bear fruit, because that's not our job or our responsibility. The command from Jesus is to abide. It's to remain. He says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. And the fruit is simply the byproduct. It's the result of us abiding. You see, Jesus here, he's calling us. He's inviting each and every one of us to remain close to him, to attach ourselves to him, to order our life around him. And he says that, hey, if you will remain in me, if you will stay close to me, you will bear much fruit in your life. It will be the byproduct, the result of staying attached to me. And this will bring great glory and honor to God. But if you don't remain in me, then you will be like a branch that is thrown away, that withers and that dies, that because apart from him, apart from Jesus, you and I can do nothing on our own. So our job, our responsibility as the branch is to remain connected to the vine, to abide in Jesus. And Jesus' responsibility as the vine is to grow and to produce fruit in our life. But here's the problem. Here's where we start to run into an issue. The reason that we grow frustrated and discouraged in our relationship with God, the reason that it can feel like a burden or a checklist to follow Jesus, is because you and I, we try to go and bear fruit without first abiding. We try to go and do all the right things without first being with Jesus. And our focus becomes on doing things for Jesus instead of being with Jesus. You see, we live in a society today that celebrates and promotes productivity and efficiency. Like the goal in life is, man, I want to accomplish as much as I can as fast as possible. And for those of us in the room who are the type A, firstborn achievers, the Enneagram 3s, man, we kind of like this approach to following Jesus. We don't mind this because it's hard for us to just remain, to just abide, whatever that even means, because we feel like we're not doing anything. We feel like we're not accomplishing anything. We like to go do stuff. We like to be productive. We like to be efficient because it gives us this sense of purpose and value in life. It makes us feel like we're special and important. We want to feel like, man, I am crushing it for Jesus. Man, I am such a great Christian. Give me the gold star. So, hey, just give me the checklist. Just tell me what to do, and I will get it done as efficiently as I possibly can. But you see, the problem with this approach to following Jesus is that it's not sustainable. Eventually, it catches up to us because we are not able to sustain a life for God without being connected to God. And when we try to do everything in our own strength and our own power and our own ability, what we end up doing is we end up disconnecting ourselves from the vine. We disconnect ourselves from the source of life. And just like a branch that is removed or disconnected from the vine, we start to wither and die spiritually. And the weight of trying to follow Jesus all on our own, all in our own strength, it starts to crush us. And it leaves us feeling frustrated, it leaves us feeling discouraged that we're never doing enough, and simply overwhelmed. Which is why Jesus doesn't command us, go and bear fruit. Go and do these things for me. The command from Jesus is to abide in him. You know, I think most of us, we know that Jesus loves us. Like we know the verses, for God so loved the world. We know the songs, Jesus loves me, this I know. But I think some of you need to hear this morning, that Jesus doesn't just love you. Jesus actually likes you. Like he delights in you. He likes you. And what Jesus wants most from you is simply to be with you. Like, listen, Jesus, he does not need anything from you. He is good on his own, I promise. And Jesus is not impressed by anything that you do. Jesus is not impressed by anything you feel like you bring to the table in the relationship. Jesus simply wants you exactly as you are. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be close to you. And he invites you to draw life from him and to experience this rest for your soul. And he says, look, I will take care of producing fruit in your life. I'll take care of changing you. All I need you to do, all I'm inviting you to do, is to abide in me, is to remain close to me. You know, as a teaching pastor, my biggest responsibility in my role is preparing a sermon every week. And as soon as Sunday morning is done and I'm walking out to my car, I'm immediately starting to think about next week. Because I know that in 7 days, I need to have another sermon ready to go. I don't have the luxury of pushing back the deadline and saying, hey, we're going to meet for church on Monday this week because I didn't have quite enough time to get things done. By 9:30 on Sunday morning, I've got to be ready to go whether I am or not. But on the weeks where maybe my schedule is a little busier or I start to get behind in my sermon prep, there's this temptation that I always feel. I felt it this past week as I got back in town late and was getting ready for today. You know, there's these weeks where I'm getting behind, it's really busy, and I'll wake up on a Thursday morning or I'll wake up on a Friday morning, and I know, man, I've got like 2 days left to get this message done. And the way my brain is wired, I've got about 3 hours of kind of effective sermon writing before I hit that wall. And once I hit that wall, I'm not writing anything else. And I figured out I have this kind of window of time in the morning from 7 to 11 o'clock. It's kind of my efficiency window where I am the most efficient. And if I try to wait to write my sermon after lunch, like I'm just wasting my time. Nothing is getting done. Like I have to take advantage of these hours in the morning. I've run into several of you, whether it's been at Cohatch or Starbucks, Roosevelt Coffee, Sunbury, or Village Coffee and Sunbury, like you've seen me out in the morning working on my sermon. And so the temptation that I feel whenever I'm behind is to skip my personal time with God in the morning so I can just go ahead and get started on my sermon. Because I want to capitalize on this window of time where I know that I am most efficient. And it's easy for me in my mind to justify doing this because, hey, I feel like I am doing something for God. I'm skipping my time with God so that I can study the Bible and get ready for this message that I'm going to preach to the church. And I'll convince myself that this is a much better and effective use of my time. Because think of all the people I can help by putting more time and more energy into my sermon. And so I will skip my time with God so that I can help God accomplish his mission. But how arrogant and foolish to think that God needs anything from me. Here's what I found. On the weeks where I neglect my time with God in order to put in a few more hours into my sermon, those weeks are the biggest flop. And it may be a well-written message. It may be theologically accurate. It may have a great story and a great illustration, but there's no power behind it. Because I've been disconnected from the vine, from the source of life all throughout the week, doing things in my own strength and in my own power. But on the weeks where I prioritize abiding in Jesus, remaining in Jesus, those are the weeks that bear the most fruit. Especially the weeks where I feel like I haven't been able to give this the time, the energy, the hours that I would have wanted to, but I am desperately dependent on God to come through for me. Those are the weeks where God is able to do something special. You see, I can't produce any fruit on my own. I can give you more knowledge about the Bible. I can occasionally make people laugh with a good illustration. I can make people feel a certain way with a story, but I don't have the ability to actually change anyone's heart. God is the only one who can do that. God is the only one who can grow and produce fruit in someone else's life. And so I have to remind myself every single week that Jesus doesn't need anything from me. And that Jesus is not impressed by anything that I bring to the table. Like as I'm writing my message, Jesus isn't like, wow, what a great illustration. I probably should have included that in there. It's not, wow, what a great insight. I've never seen that before. That's going to be so helpful for the church on Sunday morning. Like he's not impressed. He doesn't need anything from me. What Jesus wants most from me is for me to be with him, for me to abide in him, for me to remain close to him. And he says, look, I will take care of the fruit. I'll take care of the results. You don't need to worry about that. Remain in me as I also remain in you. And so during the summer, we're going to talk about what it looks like for us to abide in Jesus, how we can actually do this, how we can order our life around him. And we're going to do this by looking at different practices, different habits from the life of Jesus. Things like scripture meditation, prayer, fasting, Sabbath, generosity, serving. And these are habits that Jesus lived out and that he has invited us as his followers to adopt into our own life as we seek to follow Jesus and to become more like Jesus. And look, we don't want to overwhelm you in this series by giving you 9 more things that you need to now add to your life and try to fit into your schedule. Here's my encouragement, and I'll say it most of the weeks. Pick 1, maybe 2 practices that you can apply and implement into your life. Either a practice that you've never done before, you've never tried before, or maybe one that you haven't been consistent with in your life, but adopt it as a regular rhythm in your life and in the life of your family. But here's what we can't miss as we go through this series, and we're talking about these different practices and habits. The practices, the habits, are not the end goal of the Christian life. Like, we don't receive a grade based on how well we're doing these, how well we're keeping them. These habits, these practices, are simply an end, or a means to an end. The end goal is for us to abide in Jesus, for us to become like Jesus. He said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, there's this story in the gospel accounts about these two sisters named Mary and Martha. They were the sisters of Lazarus, the guy that Jesus raised from the dead. And one day, Jesus shows up in their little town and invites himself over for dinner. Now, you and I, we get stressed out if we have to host life group. We get stressed out if we have to have the in-laws over for dinner. Imagine having the Son of God over to your house for a meal. And Martha, of course, she was feeling this stress, this pressure of having Jesus over for dinner, and she wanted everything to be perfect. And Jesus arrives there, and she's not quite done with the preparations, so she's cleaning the house still, and she's getting the meal ready, and she just wants it to be amazing because she loves Jesus and feels like the best way she can serve Jesus and contribute to Jesus is by doing all these things, by making things perfect for him. And she comes into the living room and sees Mary just sitting there talking to Jesus, and she's like, my sister is so lazy. She's such a bum. She's not helping me. And she decides, you know what? I'm going to go embarrass my sister and put her on the spot. And she walks over to them and says, Jesus, tell my sister to help me. Tell her to come and do all this stuff with me. I'm carrying all the weight all by myself. And Jesus, he looks at her and he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. And Mary, your sister, has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. She has chosen to be with me, to remain in me, to abide. And so I just wonder for you today, like Mary, have you chosen what is better? Or have you settled for something less than what Jesus has invited you to? Have you been more concerned with doing things for Jesus than being with Jesus? And I just have to confess that has been me for years. It's part of the way I'm wired. It's part of my personality. I'm much more comfortable doing rather than being. And this week was just such a reminder of Jesus saying, I don't need anything from you. I simply want to be with you. And I'm inviting you to abide in me. And so in just a moment, we're going to spend some time in prayer, and we're going to spend some time worshiping through song. And the reason we do a response time every week is because we want to allow time, we want to allow space for the Spirit, for God's Spirit, to apply what has just been taught to our heart. We've preached, we've declared the Word of God. And the Bible says that the Word of God, when it's preached, when it's taught, it never returns void. So God's Word has been preached, it's been taught, and now we want to give space for the Spirit to take that truth and apply it to our heart, apply it to our life, to do a work within us, to grow and produce fruit in our life. So I'm going to give you some time, just quietly, to pray, to seek the Father, and then Josiah is going to lead us. as we continue to worship.